But I do believe that my life has certain lessons for me to learn and certain things that are just going to happen and are out of my control.
Welcome back to the Society Says podcast, everyone. Today is going to be a very, very casual conversation with Megan, and I'm very happy about that because I don't know about any of you guys listening, but I've been thinking a lot about life lately and just decisions and wondering if I'm on the right path and doing the right things. And my friend Megan here is kind of feeling the same thing. So we're just gonna talk about life today and what it's like adulting, especially being in our 20s. So Megan, how about you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Megan. Like she said, I'm super happy to be here. Staria and I are just the kind of friends that like randomly she'll be like, hey, let's do this. You want to dance for this? Let's talk about this. And I'm always game. So I am super happy to be just talking with her about life and things, especially the point that I'm at right now feels pretty pivotal with this topic. But as for who I am, I'm a dancer, rock climber, jeeper, motorcycle, you name it, I'll do it. I am in interior design school right now. I'm in my last year of that. So that makes up a big part of who I am, and a dance teacher, just all the things. Those are some of my favorites.
You seriously do so much. You're like the outdoorsy person, but also like you just try everything. I love it so much. So
a little too much sometimes. Gotta rein it in.
Fun fact about our friendship is we actually became friends being janitors at BYU.
Shameful a little bit, but also great times.
You gotta make money in any way that you can.
It's true. Scraping gum with Staria.
Seriously, you gotta start somewhere. You know, wow, it's been 3 years that we've been friends, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's longer than I thought. Time flies. But yeah, we definitely are both very busy people, and I'm glad that we are on the same page, that we just kind of go about our lives, but we just every once in a while check in with each other, and anytime we're in the same spot, we reach out and we meet up. And you know, something I love about our friendship is that we are both like working really hard towards our goals in life, and it's just fun to see like through social media, like where we're headed and how much closer we're getting to our goals. So I know that you have one more year of school and then you graduate and you're in the real world. So are you excited for that?
Very excited. Also, it comes with kind of some weird feelings because school has been such a big part of life. But even as I jumped into kind of an internship opportunity this summer and got a taste of just the workplace and a different flow, I feel ready for it. I feel ready for that next step. I've outgrown kind of the college pace a little bit, even though I've learned so much from that, and I'm excited by it and I'm soaking up everything I'm learning. But I think the scariest part of it is more now, where do I fit within all these dreams and all these things? What really like fulfills me and brings me purpose? Because I've just had it on paper all this far. And now it's time to bring that to life.
Yeah, it's now coming off that paper. And you have probably some pretty tough decisions that you're going to have to make. Because, you know, you're thinking long term, like every decision you make, it's like, okay, well, where is this going to land me? Is it going to get me closer to the goals I've had in mind for so many years now? Or are my goals going to start to kind of change? You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just, it is kind of scary, like transitioning from student to now real world adult.
Totally.
Are there any decisions that you know are coming up that you're kind of nervous about having to face?
I think the most obvious one coming out of schooling, it's very socially normal to then you go right into a career. And I felt this kind of like almost anxiousness around that because knowing myself, if I jump into a career, I'm probably going to try to do really, really well and end up, oh shoot, I've been here for 5 years. Like, whoa, you know how time flies and everything can change and you can listen to yourself and come through that process. But I've kind of had, I don't know, a decision process of, do I jump right into that career and be realistic and start my finances and start all that stuff? Or do I take a minute and say, I've been working my butt off at school. Do I just go live my travel van life dream? Do I don't know, change it up for a minute before doing what society tells me is what I do the minute after college? You know, yeah. I think that's one of the bigger things weighing on me now. And I know it can be balanced. Maybe you can balance both things, but I don't know. Am I ready to just do what everyone else does?
Yeah.
Pay bills and die? No.
I know, right? Like, sometimes, I'm not going to lie, I hate thinking about, like, growing up. It's great when you think about the first, like, 10, 20 years. It's like, oh, great. Like, I'll get my career going. I'll, you know, if you're into, like, family, you'll create a family, you know, and have, like, that life. But then you start to think about the later years, and it's like, oh, wait, no. Like, I don't want to just, like, be settled somewhere and, like, be a grumpy old lady.
And I think it's that balance of it being so thrilling, like the world is your oyster, as well as like, oh my gosh, the world is my oyster. Like, I have all these options. But I think that leads us into kind of what we're going to talk about with intuition. And I don't think we need to be afraid that we're going to get stuck or going to go down the wrong path if we're really listening to ourselves.
Yeah. So I actually do have a question for you. How do you make these like tough decisions in your life? Are you like, are you someone who does listen to that gut feeling, or do you go based off of more just like knowledge, like what your mind is processing?
Right. I will say a decision-making process is lifelong, like growth process to learn how to maneuver that for yourself. And I feel like that's what I've been working on, is leading more with my intuition and gut feeling. And combined with, you know, there's some reality here, some advice here, you know, there's pieces, but can I really tune out what society says, what my traditional grandma says, what my teacher says, and not to disregard good advice from people you love. I think that has its place, but can I tune out the more so the pressures of what people think they want for me and listen to what I want for me? And I think into my heart of hearts that I know the answer already for every decision, but can I tune in enough to listen to that? And that's the process. That's what I'm trying to learn how to do.
Yeah, there's definitely a difference with people helping you make a decision by giving advice rather than like them telling you what they want you to do. Like I love going to family for advice, but it's also tricky too because family is so close to you and they care so much about you and don't want to see you get hurt. And so their advice will easily turn into, this is what you should do because I want you [S2] Right. [S1] To be safe. I want you to be successful. So there's definitely like you have to be careful going to people for help with making decisions because ultimately it's what you feel is right for you and your life and your future life too.
Totally. I think I've found too, seeking advice from other people, they often come from the place that, I mean, they come from their experience and what they know. So like in particular, if I have asked my grandpa a question, in his mind, you know, this and this path has made him happy. So that's the advice he offers comes from that place. But maybe his particular path isn't really gonna make me happy, but maybe there's still advice and things I can feed off of for sure. Like everyone's experience can build your own, but if it is put in that format, like you're saying, like you should do this, that's not gonna align with the way that I'm gonna go, you know?
And you know, talking about like people who are older than us, especially like two generations up, you know, that also kind of is interesting, getting advice from people who lived in a totally different world than what we live in now. I've started to notice that actually just being home the past couple weeks here with my mom. I have talked to her about a couple different things because, you know, it's very new that I'm like building up a business and I'm going into this whole scary side of the world. And I've come to her with some issues that I've been having, and her advice is just so different because she grew up in a very different time, you know? So it's interesting to also go to people who are just older than us.
Yeah.
But then again, there's like,
all around.
Yeah, but then again, like, should we go to people who are like similar to our age?
I know. It's, you take bits and pieces. I think certain things will resonate with me from all ages. So I think there's just different personalities, different perspectives that you're going to resonate with more. So maybe it's not a thing of age, but just certain pieces are really going to resonate with you, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So with making decisions, you know, we're both in like a place in our life where that's just bound to happen. So many decisions are going to have to be made in the next 5 to 10 years for us. What are some things that you consider when you're making like a bigger decision?
I mean, I sometimes resort to some of the classic, you know, here's a pros and a cons list, or I envision myself, if I'm in this situation, how would I feel? How would it be? Versus this situation, how would it feel? How would it be? So I use some of those mechanisms. But I would say really giving myself time to sit and reflect. And it's not really a conscious thought, but rather like trying to find that tune in to what feels good rather than, okay, I'm more emotional than logical, and maybe I need to learn to balance the two. But I think that's where I am drawn to leading by the gut feeling, the intuition, trying to find that, because that feeds my emotional happiness. Whereas some people will sit down and logically say, this makes sense. This will get me to a successful place and we're good. I just don't think that way.
You know, I do know like several people who think in a very, very logical way. And I just feel like those people, and this is just kind of what I've observed and just my own thoughts, and I could be totally wrong, but I feel like people who think more logically rather than with like their gut, I feel like they don't genuinely do the things that make them happy in life. And again, I could be totally wrong. And the reason I say that is just because I think people who think emotionally and think with their gut, I think that their gut is telling them to go towards the things that make them happy, that put a smile on their face, that make them want to get up in the morning. And people who think more logically, I feel like they just care more about like, okay, what's going to make me more successful? It's going to bring in money so that I can pay bills, so I can support a family. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I think how awesome would it be to find that balance of the two where you can create on paper that logical great success, and you find a process that logically makes sense, but combined with the emotional direction.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Finding that fusion would be really cool, because I think there's great things in logic, obviously, as well. So how can we find that fusion, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, if you only thought with your heart and what feels right and good, then you could get yourself in trouble. I've definitely been down that road multiple times. And
double hand raise.
Yep. And you also have to remember that the decisions you make do affect the people around you too. That's something I really learned about 2 years ago, was like, especially big decisions, it's not just what's happening to you in your world, it's also what's happening to people around you too. Yeah. So do you actually have an experience where you didn't listen to like your gut feeling or like an intuition sort of thing?
This one's kind of small and silly, but it's the first thing I thought of. But I think it gets the point across, you know. There was a time I was going to meet or go to dinner with my mom and my sister for my mom's birthday. But I hadn't seen my boyfriend all day. And he's like, I'm really going to try to see you before you go to this dinner. Anyway, he ended up staying up at work late and texted me like, hey, I'm just getting out now. And I'm like, oh, I'm already on my way to dinner. Was pretty bummed just because it's approaching time where I'm going to be long distance from him, all of that, just soaking up every minute with him. And so I was pretty bummed that I wasn't going to see him. And so I texted. Well, okay. So I got the urge to leave it alone. Like after we said like, okay, that's great. Like I'll just see you tomorrow, whatever. To not say anything else. And I went against that feeling to leave it alone. And I said, you know, I feel like you really didn't try to see me. And that's like all you've been saying all day is you're going to try. And then he said, oh, I'm actually waiting at the restaurant now. And I have been for a little bit. he was going to surprise me there at the restaurant and say, hey, and I felt terrible, so bad. And I'm like, why did I not just listen and leave it alone? And I would have shown up at the restaurant and it would have been like, oh my gosh, you like tried to see me and this is amazing. And instead I was, came off as such a brat. And I know that's such a silly, dumb example, but had I just like, I had a strong gut feeling, like, let it, leave it alone. And 2 minutes later, I felt horrible because he had been waiting at a restaurant for 30 minutes to see me and he was making that effort.
Yeah.
So I know that's silly, but that really stuck out to me. Like, I had that feeling, leave it alone.
Yeah, no, that happens to me too. And it's usually like small things, like things that in the moment I'm like, okay, like I can, you know, I can do whatever I want, you know, and then like literally just like a little while later, I'll realize that like, oh, I should have listened to what my gut was telling me to do. So I definitely understand that. So sometimes we experience like, you know, conflicting feelings when we do make decisions, especially if we are trying to learn how to listen to our gut. And I'm assuming that you've probably experienced that, right? Just having conflicting.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you do when you're feeling conflicted?
I will be honest, I still struggle with this a lot. Anyone listening that knows me very personally would probably be like, she's the most indecisive girl. Like, why is she talking about this topic? Because it's true. I do struggle. Like, I have a hard time thinking I will make a wrong choice or regret not choosing something that could be better for me or better for other people. So I think that's where the conflict comes from. And to deal with that, the best way I can put it is maybe more of a mentality thing. Something that I really stand behind is that a lot of things are in our control. We can go down this path and I can have these goals and I can be a designer and be a dancer and be all these things. And like, I have the power to do that. And I think that's amazing. And I need to take advantage of that. But I do believe that my life has certain lessons for me to learn and certain things that are just going to happen and are out of my control. And it's learning the balance of how much control you have against what is just going to happen. So, I mean, I guess in response to conflict, I think remembering that like, there's only so much I can do that's really going to even change my course. So don't make the decision so detrimental because you're still being led down a path, you know, and one way or another, if you choose the wrong thing or, you know, you're going to learn from that. And maybe that was part of what was supposed to happen anyway. And so doing your best to be in tune with yourself and recognizing that good will come down the road or now from whatever decision you make. So I think it's a mentality thing, if that made sense.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, anybody who, I think most people who struggle like not knowing what to do, I think I think a lot of it comes with overthinking, because I definitely do the same thing. Yeah, I'm very much like a what if person, and that's kind of where like my anxiety stems from. I'm just like, but what if this and what if this? Like, what am I gonna do? And I like think way too much, and it's honestly like very unhealthy to do that. And something I'm trying to teach myself is just like, anytime something stressful is coming into my life and what ifs start coming up and like I'm having to make decisions that I'm just like struggling to decide what to do, I just try to like tell myself that like, okay, think about the present, what needs to be decided right now, and what can I, like, what do I actually have control over? Because a lot of times I think about things that I don't even have control over, and like I'm trying to have control over it. And I think that's also like, I like how you touched on that a little bit, that, you know, there's things we can control and there's also things that just are going to happen, you know, and we just kind of have to go with it, work around it. And, you know, earlier we were talking about like getting advice from people, which, you know, I think can be great. I know that I have go-to people, you know, my sister, and I don't actually know if you've met my mom, but those are like my two go-to people. I mean, obviously besides my husband, but they just like know who I am, and they've known me my entire life, so they know the little things that freak me out. They know like what not to say when I'm trying to figure stuff out in my life. Do you have those go-to people in your life?
For sure. And I think it's true that like certain decisions or advice that you're seeking, you're going to go to a certain person because you know their perspective or maybe what they'll say, and you're kind of hoping maybe for something certain from them. Yeah, I definitely have those friends, and I've found as I kind of evolve as a person, as my friend groups change or as I change, who I kind of resonate with and feel like I can get that advice from kind of molds along with that. So I may have a really great friend, but I've kind of evolved, and so it's become this other great friend. But definitely my mom. I sometimes I'm like, oh, no, I'm not like her. And then people will be like, hear us talking. And you're like, you're exactly like her. So in that respect, we can go on and on about all this kind of stuff in life. And she knows exactly what to say. And there's certain things maybe I wouldn't get from her, but I would say my mom is a huge, huge source of that for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like a lot of us turn to our mothers for advice because, you know, something about like that mother relationship between a daughter or a son, it's just like the person who like gave you life. Like they probably give the best advice.
Right. I will say, boyfriend is good at logic and simplifying something. And that has been the biggest like humble down and simplify, because I want to be more simple. I want to not overthink. And so going to him sometimes is frustrating. I'm like, let me be emotional about this, or let me overthink about this, you know. Yeah. But bringing that back down to say, hey, how is this really going to be? And that, I think that has its place too, for sure.
Yeah, no, I envy people who can like think so simply in times of like chaos and having to figure things out, you know, deadlines, whatever it is. Like, I envy people who can just stay calm and not like overthink. They're just like, oh, well, this is just what's happening, and this is what needs to get done, and it's very simple. Like, why are you overthinking it? And I wish I could be like that, but I probably never will be. So I'm very interested to talk about, you know, we're talking about like growing and making decisions. Now I'm interested in talking about how maybe your health has changed, like the way that you think of health and well-being. Like, I know for me personally, it's changed a lot over the years. So I know that you are vegan, right?
Yes.
So I know that some things have like switched with your health and just like the way that you view it. So I'm just kind of curious, like, you know, what your story is with that.
Yeah. I've been blessed to like, my mom had to go vegan for a little bit a long time ago, and she's dabbled in kind of all kinds of health things. She's always been that way. And so that wasn't a totally new world for me, because there are a lot of people that are like, what the heck is veganism? What the heck is, you know, all these different things. And so I feel lucky that that wasn't just a complete foreign thing for me. But I will say kind of the big change that happened personally for myself, it did start with my boyfriend, the steak burger wings guy, saying, hey, I'm going to do this for the environment. I'm going to go vegan.
Whoa.
I was in the depths of college at the time. And he's like, will you do this with me? Well, we started vegetarian, and I tried that with him, and I was like, that's fine. That's great. But when he said, I'm going to go vegan and, you know, you should try this with me, I kind of was like, I'm in college and I just buy what I can afford, and that's kind of extreme right now. But I also couldn't turn my head away from that, because the steak guy is going vegan. Like, I can't just close my eyes to that. So that's kind of where my personal process began. And I ended up deciding to just jump in and say, okay, I'll do this with you. And slowly I cleaned out kind of my pantry of things I wasn't going to be eating. I gave some to my roommates. I kind of ate some away until I really made a clean cut, like, I'm going to do this. And then I started my personal kind of journey of, you know, watching things, becoming educated, like, why am I going to make this big decision? And Yeah, it just really spiraled from there. But I found in regards to health that that became a side effect of what I was doing. So my motivation was is environment and all of that. And I think it's hard to explain to people because I don't think I'm changing the world. I may only make a small impact. I may use a tiny less water and kill a tiny bit less animals. Great. I don't think I'm changing the world, but I know for a fact I'm doing something intentional and I'm not a part of bad markets and practices, and I've stepped out of that. I'm not making the negative impact. So that alone for me is motivation. I just am doing something intentional for myself. I know what I'm putting in my body. I know the impact I'm not having on the world in
I
the
love
negative
that.
ways. And then I guess, I mean, you asked about health. Sorry, so many words from my mouth.
You're good. I love it. That was actually so great because I haven't had the best experience with people talking about being vegan with me. Like I've had people just kind of shame me for not being vegan. So I'm just really grateful that like you just told your experience and you weren't like shaming me in any way. So thank you. That was like the most pleasant experience I've had talking to a vegan.
That honestly makes me so sad because I think there's a lot of bad reps for veganism because there are those people that are shaming people for not doing what they're doing. And in anything, I don't think that has its place because everyone's doing what is best for them and what they, you know, everyone's just doing their best, and like forcing an opinion on someone else is not okay. I do it for me. It's a personal choice. I love someone who will do it and someone who doesn't, and it does not matter, you know?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that so much because, like, I think that it's when I hear it from certain people, I'm like, no, that's really awesome. Like, you make such good points. Like, it makes me want to like look into it. Like, honestly, if I'm just being super honest right now, the only reason I haven't looked into it because I did try being vegan in high school because my dad was just experimenting. I was like, oh, I'll do it too. The reason that I haven't looked into it again is just because I have already have such a strict diet because I am gluten-free and I also believe that I have IBS. So it's I already have such a strict diet. Like that's literally the only reason, but I feel like that's horrible because I understand that people go vegan mainly because of the environment and for animals and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, maybe one day.
Yeah, no, and it's a total process, and also that would add an extra level. Like I'm blessed to be like able to just choose, you know, and not say, oh, I have to not eat this and this because of dietary. I mean, that's a whole other level for sure.
Yeah.
But I used to get sick maybe 3 or 4 times a month. I would get back-to-back throat infections. Like my tonsils would nearly touch. Like I was sick
Oh
probably
my.
my entire sophomore year of college. And that combines with stress. I was a stress case. I have loosened up since that. There's all these factors, but I have not been sick since I've been a vegan, and that alone has been amazing. Energy, and so there's all these personal benefits. I'm healthy and I feel great, and I'm also doing something that feels good. I mean, ethically too. So.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I don't know if you remember what you're saying.
That's
I
perfect.
guess just now just like speaking about like health, I guess the reason I bring this up is because when I was younger, I was that kid who would get hurt or something or like, you know, injured or sick and like I would just like put it on the back burner. I was like, yeah, like I have things to do. Like I have dance class. I don't want to be out of this competition season. Like I'm just like, oh, just keep going, you know, like wrap it up, whatever. And I just wouldn't take care of myself. But as I've gotten older, like I've just learned the importance of that. So I guess that's why I'm bringing it up, kind of like how, like, has your mind at all shifted with health?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess as we get older, it's no longer okay, my parents or the person taking care of me is feeding me what they have, and it's sustenance, and you know, that you just play and you eat and you're doing all that. But now we're at a point where, like everything else, we're making these choices. So what you put into your body is up to you, and that's going to have consequences in the future and now. And I really believe food connects to, I mean, emotionally, how we feel, the diseases we'll eventually have, all of these things. And I think getting older has created that awareness for me that it's my choices of what I'm actually eating have consequences, and what kind of life do I want to lead? Do I want to be the yoga grandma that can go do headstands on that cliff after a big hike? Yeah, I do. So I'm going to make those choices.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Just, I think it's good to have that in the back of your mind as you're going through life. Like, what do you want to look like, be like when you're old and wrinkly? You know, like, I've been thinking about that a lot, even just like as simple as I want to take care of my face better. Like, I want to start using like SPF every day because I don't want to have like crazy wrinkles when I get older. You know, I don't want to look like, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm just already thinking about just little things like that, that I'm like, oh shoot, like if I keep going like this, like I'm probably not going to be very happy when like I'm in my 70s and 80s, hopefully, you know, considering right. I make it that far.
Combined with the now, I mean, I feel much better than I did before. So I can control how I feel now too, based on health. So it's all encompassing for sure.
Yeah, that's true. So this is kind of change of topic here, but you are a dancer and you have managed to continue to dance after high school, right?
Yes.
So how did you do that? Because we definitely have two different paths that we went on, and we were both dancers in high school, but you've managed to continue to dance. So just how has your experience been like? Because I know some people struggle to continue to do their hobbies after they graduate high school.
Totally. I did take a breather after high school. I went to UVU and I did some humanitarian work in China. So during those times, I was still dancing. I helped, you know, lead some dance stuff in China, did different things. But as for being on a dance team and really like being a dancer, quote unquote, took a breather. But I was so blessed to find a team up in Logan. I go to Utah State. They have a team up there that it's not connected to the university, but a modern contemporary dance team that's just so free thinking. It fit with my schedule. I really like hit the lottery, because if you join a dance team at this point, you're either headed to be a professional dancer or you're taking like a random class a week. You know what I mean? To find an in-between at this point is tricky. So I found a team that was relaxed and understood I was in college and all of this. But I was able to be a dancer and be creative and still have concerts and all the events, all the things that come with being on a dance team and being a dancer. So that's how I got to continue, was finding this team of, it's moms and women and girls my age. And it just really shows like we can all still dance. Dance makes your soul come alive. And like, that's the general belief of our team. Like, so yeah, I've been dancing on that since I've been going to school. This will be my fourth year on that team. And just love it. But you don't have to be on a team to keep doing what you love, or, I mean, maybe it's not dance, whatever it is, but whatever your kind of hobby language is, dance for me is so natural. If I'm sitting in a car with a good song, I literally like, get me out of this car. I need to dance. I need to move. I need, like, I am so constricted by the seatbelt all of a sudden. For me, it's such a soul language. And so I don't have to have a formal space to speak that language. I'm going to dance in my kitchen till I can't, you know. Dance will always be a part of who I am because it's an expression of me. So I think that can go across the board for any hobby, any love for anybody.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, if you really love it enough, like you'll find some sort of way to do that. I know I've been through ups and downs with dance ever since graduating high school. Like right out of high school, I was on a company in, this is weird for me to say, but I was on a contemporary company in Seattle for a little bit, and then I moved to Utah, so I couldn't stay on it. And I taught a little bit in Utah, and then, you know, I went back to my hip-hop roots and taught some hip-hop there. And then pretty much ever since then, like, I haven't been able to really do much except through some videos that I make. Sometimes I am able to choreograph for people, but you know, it's been hard, mainly just because I travel, and it's so hard to like travel and dance. Really, the only option I have is to just dance in my house or in the hotel room that I'm in. Like, that's really the only option I get. And I will say, like, if, you know, for anyone who can relate that's listening, I will say that's been so hard for me because I love having, like, a dance family. And that goes for anyone's hobbies. Like, it's just so great to have a family, like, your crew, that your people. Yeah, it's just, it's so nice because it feels so different. Like, I hate doing drop-in classes. It's just not the same. It's just, it's different people every time you go. And it's just, because I agree, dance is very much like, it's a way to speak through your body. It's just more than just like moving your limbs. And yeah, so it's been a interesting experience, and that ties back into having to make hard decisions, you know? Like, I have realized you can't travel and dance unless you somehow get onto like a traveling dance team, which there aren't many. And so actually, like, currently in the past 2 weeks, me and my husband have been trying to decide, okay, like, we just bought a van. Should we just like build it up and then sell it so that we can go settle down so that you can dance? Or should we live van life and then you dance later in life? And it's so hard because I was telling you this before we started recording that I constantly feel like I am approaching 30 and like I am not actually 21. I always forget that I'm so young because most people think that I'm like 26 or 27. And so in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm almost 30. And so I have so many freak out moments where I'm like, no, like, okay, we can't do van life anymore because I need to dance. Like, I'm going to get too old and then I'm not going to be able to move and my limbs and joints just won't allow it. And so it just like, it all ties back. But sorry, that was like a little rant. That was just kind of something that's been going on in my life.
It's so true though. Like, it's hard. I mean, you can't, what is that saying? They say like, master, jack of all trades, but master of none. I catch myself trying to do it all. I want to be the dancer and the designer and the van lifer and the all of these things. And really, how well and how invested can you be in all of them at once? And so that is such a balance. Like, there is a reality factor to, you can't do it all at once, but you can remember that you're not 30.
And yeah.
There is time for things to flourish and you to change and opportunities to arise. And that's a hard perspective to remember for sure.
Yeah, that's so true. So you danced through college and, okay, so tell me a little bit about college. You talked about how you are going to school for interior design. I don't know if we really touched on your future goals with that. So what do you, like, if you could say, okay, like, this is where I want to be, like, this is my highest goal with what I'm going to school for, like, what is that?
That is something that has shifted and recently become less and less a concrete idea. I think jumping into school, I knew I liked design. I knew that college was a path that could get me there without me having to honestly figure out and jump through hoops and carve my own path. So truly I took kind of an easier way out because the path was carved for me and I knew the program was good and it was going to lead me through 4 years of technical information and good information and get me to somewhere in design. That's what I knew jumping into it. And so happy I did it. I will say school's not the only way for things. And looking back, I don't know if where I'm at now with me as a person, would I have done school, would I have not? But I'm happy I did for interior design because I have learned so much and I know I'll jump into the career I want so much easier than had I just tried to figure it out myself. I don't know where I honestly would be had I not followed this direction. Anyway, so goals now kind of have shifted now that I'm approaching not just the idea of an interior designer. I'm actually gonna have to make a decision. Does that mean in a office being under somebody, working for someone, being a commercial designer for hotels? Does that mean I'm designing RVs or yachts or residences? Or do I do my own thing and freelance? Do I be a rep for a vendor company. I mean, there's all these facets of things, and I don't think I have a concrete vision. I know I like residential design. I know that I want to learn from a firm at first, kind of business practices, how things work, but I could see myself going off one day and kind of doing my own thing and really making those design decisions, starting that business, doing that. But I mean, what has ultimately been the goal is to provide spaces for people that they feel good in and that feel like they resonate with them and they're beautiful. And however I do that, I kind of want that to unfold. And I know I have to make some decisions, and that is freaky. I have to say, okay, maybe I'm going to just go work for a firm for a minute. I'm going to go explore this or that, or maybe it flourishes into something else. But combined with those decisions, I really want it to unfold how it should. And I want to be able to trust that, if that makes sense.
I think that's good. Don't put too much pressure on your future. Just see, like, you know, what happens, what opportunities come up, and you can kind of just decide as they come. I think that's good. Yeah, well, as we bring this to a wrap, is there any, like, last things that you think we should talk about?
I don't know. I feel like I've said so many words. Everyone's probably sick of my voice already. Get this girl off of here. I mean, a good wrap-up is just bringing it back home with, I mean, we're overall talking about leading with your gut and making decisions. And I think a big thing to remember is life is a growth process, and making decisions is a growth process. And I mean, just making those, I don't know, life is a growth process. I think that's kind of the end note. And there's consequences for things. And yeah, I should have chose this. I should have done this. What the heck do I do with my life? All of that, those are real concerns. But it all does work out. I mean, I think everyone has probably 50 stories under their belt where they're like, that was weird. It kind of just worked out. Like, it sucked during that portion, but it I'm happy where I'm at now. And I think that's the big takeaway, is no matter all the little things you use to tune in and lead it with intuition and make these decisions, and I don't know, wherever life takes you, I think it's just important to remember, like, you control your state of mind and your happiness with what's going on, and your path will unfold.
Yeah, you know? That's awesome. No, yeah, I think something to remember is that, you know, we really are always growing. Even in our 80s, we're still growing. Like, I don't think anyone just, like, reaches their full potential at any point in life. Like, you can still learn, you can still grow, you can still change and develop and learn new skills, and things are always happening. So I think that's a great way to end.
So true. This has been awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me talk your ear off to everybody.
Thank you so much for coming on. I thought today's episode was so necessary, just having, like, a chill conversation about life and what's going on in both of our lives, I think was super necessary. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for everyone who stayed and listened to the whole episode. Maybe we inspired you to make some tough decisions. Just head on. Don't be indecisive. Just think simply. I know the two of us are going to try to challenge ourselves to do that more when we are faced with decisions as well. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. And don't forget to tune in next week for a new episode. See ya.
Bye.